We're going to continue our series today on the characters in the sermon and continue looking at the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're going to look, of course, at the Golden Rule, and the character we're looking at is kind of a strange character because we're looking at the Torah. It's called the Law. And it's like, how can that be a person? How can that be a character? Well, you've got to realize, especially in Jesus' time, the Law was what everybody looked to, and it was almost like a tyrant for many of them. But that wasn't how God intended it. So we're going to look at that in a moment. But the scripture we're going to look at is a scripture that many of us know very well. And so let's say it together. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the Law and the Prophets. This, of course, we've known is called the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule has a version of it sort of in every culture, every philosophy. People think this is the foundation for how we should treat each other. And it's true. When you treat others how you want to be treated, it is a good thing. If it's done in the right reason, right way, which we'll get into in a minute. The thing is, about this rule, oftentimes we memorize that scripture. We remember, so in everything, do unto others, we just say this scripture. Or if we do the King James, it says, therefore. But the problem is, sometimes we don't realize, is that first word. So, or in the King James, it says, therefore. And therefore, or so, is, any English experts here? Any English teachers? Good, because if you buy my Bible Reflections book, you won't find the mistakes that are there. I looked over it again the other day and I found another one. It's like, how can I keep finding mistakes? I don't know. Anyway, but that first part there is something I bet you already heard, or know this term though, conjunction. I just popped in my mind, it's not in my notes. But the thing that popped in my mind was, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Yeah, I see several of you smiling. You grew up that same age too, didn't you? See, the Golden Rule doesn't stand alone. It starts with a conjunction, meaning it's connected to something. That's what a conjunction's function is. It connects things. If you don't know what I'm talking about, conjunction, function, Google it after service. You'll find out. It connects with something. That connection is what we've been talking about the last few weeks. In light of the first few verses in chapter 7, in light of God's judgment, in light of how we're supposed to judge others with caution, with trepidation, In light of the fact that God says, ask and I will give, we should follow the Golden Rule. See, a lot of the philosophies around the world say we should live out the Golden Rule so that we will live at peace with one another. So we'll get along. So you'll give me what I give you and we'll all be happy. But Jesus comes around and he twists it just a bit, which he's really good at. You know, we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, yeah, you shouldn't kill anybody, but guess what? You really shouldn't hate them at all either. Because he's going at the root of the problem, at the root of the issue. And here is the root of everything. We should live out the Golden Rule, not in our eyesight, but in light of what Jesus is, in light of what God is. Since God is good and since God is right, we should live out the Golden Rule. Do unto others as we would then want them do to us. The problem is, and some people have said, you shouldn't live out the Golden Rule. No, you should. But the problem with the Golden Rule is sometimes we treat everybody like you treat yourself. In this regard, let's say you like sailing. So you decide you're going to surprise your pastor and we're going to go out one afternoon and say, come on, pastor, we're going to get on a boat. and we're going to get on a boat, and I'm going to get sick, and you're going to clean up a mess. I like the idea of sailings, but me and my ear and ear don't get along with it. So for you, it might be a great gift. Let's go out sailing. For me, how many think that I'm not appreciating this gift as much? I made some of you know that I like baking. So I found a recipe. Somebody posted it online. I won't mention the person's name who plays the piano, but I thought I had to try the recipe. And I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't get it right. He told me later. Well, I thought it was pretty good. My wife, on the other hand, did not appreciate that effort. I gave it to her. She's like, took a few bites and like, that's dense. Yes, it is. That's different. That's not a good word when you want to hear you with your cooking. All of a sudden, what I thought was good, she did not think was good. See, the problem is, in our lives, we treat other people the way we give other people what we want. Rather, give other people what they truly need. See, the truth is, what do we really want? We want our needs met. We want what is right for us. You know, you don't want somebody else's idea of maybe, ladies, somebody else's idea of a good dress. Because it may look good on them, but it definitely wouldn't look good on you. And if they say, oh, here it is, you're like, no. But if they look at you and they know you, and they know what you like, all of a sudden that changes everything. See, the key to living out the golden rule is giving others what they really need, just as you want what you really need. And this is what Scripture teaches, and this is actually what God does. God doesn't give us what we think we need. Some of you may have heard that song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. The guy's going out, and him and his wife, and all of a sudden he sees his old girlfriend, and all of a sudden he looks and he walks away and says, Lord, I'm so grateful you didn't answer that prayer that we would get back together. Whew! I'm so thankful. Because that would have been a bad thing. See, if we're going to live out the golden rule as God wants us to, we really need to know those people around us. Because what they really need and they really want isn't what we might think. It is. Last week, you had Daniel, or DJ as he calls himself, also preach here. He's my Bible coach. We talk regularly. And he had said that him and his wife thought they would do a good deed. Somebody had moved into the neighborhood, and they were trying to look for a house. So they said, hey, we'll take your kids for a day so you can go out. What they didn't say, we'll take your kids for a day so you can go out house shopping and find the perfect house. So the people dropped off their kids, and they went to a ball game. And Daniel said that at first they were kind of upset. We took your kids for a day so you could go house shopping, and you're out there watching a ball game. Really? Then he realized, uh-oh. I didn't tell them why we were taking their kids. I didn't ask them if they wanted us to do this. We just said we'd take their kids. And guess what they did? They did what they wanted to do. All of a sudden he realized he was not really living out the golden rule in the right way. I don't know about you. Sometimes there are people who will do things and then they'll get upset. Hopefully none of you are those people. I know I've never, okay, maybe I have done something like that. Given something somebody and then they do something with it that I'm not expecting or not. I gave it to you to do this. And you are, you know. But I also didn't bother to find out what they really needed the money for, or they needed the thing I gave them for. I didn't find out beforehand if, they were a brittle diabetic and that piece of cake I gave them really probably wasn't a good idea. See, I may have thought I was doing good, but I truly wasn't living out the golden rule. Because I don't want somebody to give me something that's going to hurt me, do I? If I'm going to live out the golden rule, and I'm upset with somebody, I want them to actually find out why I'm upset, not what they think I'm upset about. See, the golden rule isn't just be nice and treat people how you want to be treated. It involves us to actually be involved in relationship with one another if we're going to live it out how God intends us to be, intends it to be. And whether we realize it or not, this is actually what the Bible does. The Bible, Jesus said, if we do this, we live out the law and the prophets. But actually, the law and the prophets is meant to give us what we really need, not necessarily always what we want. Like I said, we want others to interpret our thought, our actions, our words in the proper context and in our proper culture. You know, there are sometimes that you can say something and you're meaning it in sarcasm. That's the one problem sometimes with social media. You can say something and you're typing it out, and in your head, you've got all the right inflections. The problem is, the other person reading it is seeing something else. It's like the person who didn't know what all caps means. By the way, if you don't know, if you type in all caps on a text, that means you're yelling. By the way, I learned that the hard way. I was being lazy, I just hit all caps and I typed it out. And somebody answered back, "Why are you yelling at me?" It's like, how can you yell on a text? It's just words there on a page. It's not yelling. All of a sudden I feel like, oh yeah, you were. Why? Because I didn't understand the context. I definitely didn't understand the culture. Because let me tell you, some of the text, I'll just side note here, some of the stuff that's text out there, I don't get. So if you're a texter and you send me something and the pastor packs back a question mark, just say he doesn't understand the context. But we want that applied to our lives when we're dealing with other people. But we should also apply that to the Word of God as well. We need to understand what God's saying in the context of He's saying it, how He's saying it, and also understand that when God is saying it, He's meeting a need or meeting an issue that's going on. And we need to really find out what it means and not just judge it and say, well, that's awful in the Bible, and just throw it out. We need to find, why did God say that? Why did God do that? And that's when we come to the Torah, the law. Now, we're not bound under most of the ceremonial law of the Old Testament, but all those laws were given to the children of Israel for a reason. And even today, they can teach us lessons if we're willing to learn about them. The problem is, oftentimes we don't apply the golden rule to the Torah, to the Bible. We just read it how we think it should be read and interpret how we ought to think it should be done, and we get it wrong, rather than finding out what's actually the context, what's going on. Sometimes it just involves reading the verses before and after, rather than just saying, see what the Bible says there? Isn't the Bible a horrible thing? We need to find out what's really going on. And if we're going to live the Bible out, we need to find out what it says and what it means. Because if we don't, we can get it wrong. In the Old Testament, there's a scripture that's often criticized that talks about, just to give you an example, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 11. It talks about don't mix two different types of cloth. And I've heard a lot of people making fun of that. How stupid God is. How dumb that is. Well, realize, understand what's going on. Specifically in that scripture, it says don't mix linen and wool. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with cloth, linen is a more of a light type of cloth. It's something you'd wear in the summer when you're hot. Also, linen is a little bit more expensive than wool. But let me tell you something, both were real expensive back then because it took a lot of effort to make a piece of clothing. Wool is great if you want to stay warm. In that era, wool was cheaper than linen. God was saying, don't mix these two, because anybody who deals with cloth will tell you, if you mix two different types of cloth, there's a possibility of something happening. One shrinks or grows at different rates. So you can have something that looks really pretty, but the first time you wash it, it's like, why is that going on there? Why is that not laying straight? Iron it out, wear a little more. Well, those cloths, different type of cloths, are reacting. And eventually what will happen is they'll wear out. One will, well, let's just ask you, what happens if you got something going this way and something standing still? Something's going to give, isn't it? And that's what would happen. And sometimes, and especially in ancient times, cloth was more valuable than food. So this is just, if you had to choose, I can choose gold or clothes. I want clothes because clothes are more valuable. That's how valuable clothes were in ancient times, because it took so much to make them. So let me say, I'm going to give you a piece of cloth. And I don't want to take that off. That's connected to my... If I give you a piece of cloth, you go, oh, thank you so much. And yet it was made where it's going to rip easy. It's going to mess up easy. Have I really given you a gift? What if I give you something or sell you a piece of cloth that looks like fine linen, but it's actually got wool intermixed in it? Well, first of all, it's not going to do the job it's sold to do. It's supposed to keep you cool, and all of a sudden you got wool. I don't know about you, there have been times I've got a shirt or a suit coat and I thought, oh, this feels comfortable. And then I start wearing it, it's like, ugh. All of a sudden I look it over, it's like 85% wool. Duh, I should have looked at that beforehand. The problem was, God was trying to teach the children of Israel a lesson. It wasn't about two type of cloth. It was trying to teach people, you don't do something, you don't try to show it as being one thing and being something else. You don't sell something that's going to be of less value. So God was first trying to make the children of Israel a separate people, so they did look different from the rest of the world. But also beyond that, he was trying to teach the principle, you don't cheat somebody. You don't rip other people off. I've picked on Dale a couple times. Might as well pick on him again. You don't make it look like chocolate and it be vanilla. I don't know. Have you ever cut a cake and thought it was chocolate and ended up being vanilla?
White chocolate.
We won't argue whether or not there was a real thing called white chocolate. That's like saying, just for the taste of it. it's trying to make you believe something that isn't true. That's actually kind of a perfect example of mixing two. God says when we look at the law, we look at the Bible, we need to look at it as it was intended. See, people look at that and they make fun of it, because they're not taking it serious. They're not taking what God's saying about it. We need to take it seriously and see what's really being said here. When somebody else is saying something, we need to find out if it's really what they're saying or if there's something else going on. If we're going to live it out, we need to know one another. And if we're going to interact with the Bible the way we need to, we need to, guess what? We need to know it. And then it can make a true difference in our lives. Then we can live it out. And then we can fully understand it in the way that God intended it to do. But remember, God wants us to treat others not exactly how we want to, but how they really need it. Because that's the way God gives. And that way we live out the golden rule, the way God would. Giving what people truly need. And when we do that, then we can have a world that is better. I remember reading a story about a father whose son is graduating from high school, and he gave him this big amount of cash. And he's like, wow. I don't know you, somebody gave me a huge amount of cash, enough to go to college for 4 years when I was 18. I don't know what I might have done with it. I might have really bought a really nice car with it. I might have done something else. This boy, he got the money and he decided, wow, this is great. So he decided he'd travel for a while, see the world a little bit. And when he got done with that, he came back and said, Dad, can you help me with college? Because I want to go to this college, it's a little more expensive, and I thought we talked about before. And the father said, no. You've gotten all the help you are ever going to get from me. What? But, and then he explained, when I turned 18, my dad gave me a bunch of money too. And I asked him, what should I do with this money? And he told me how I should do it, and how I should invest it, and how I should prepare, and how I should go forth and get this money invested so I can make money later, so then I could have money to go to college. You never asked me. And the son was like, and his father felt like he had followed the golden rule. He had treated others how he had been treated. The son was like, no, you didn't. Now, they didn't use the word golden rule there. But I'm telling you, that's what the father thought he had followed it exactly. The problem was he didn't understand his son. And therefore, he gave him something that did not help him. And then felt justified in himself when his son failed. The world around us needs true help. And we need to give it to them. But we need to find out what they really need. And sometimes what we need to do is talk to them and say, hey, I want to do this for you. I want to help you. What can we do together to make it work out right? How could that story have worked out so much different? If the father would have given him the money and say, son, I'm giving this, but I want you to treat it wisely. You can ask me any question. Wouldn't that have changed everything? If years before, if the father had taught the son how to do with money properly and how to invest before that, would that have changed everything? It would have changed the whole story, wouldn't it? So let's live out the golden rule. But live it out not as this father did in this story. And as I will tell you this, from what I understand, this was a true story. But let's live it out how God gives it. And God gives what he gives with love. He gives what he gives with relationship. And sometimes he gives us what we need, even when we don't actually want it. Because, be honest, aren't there times in your life people have given you something you didn't appreciate at the time? I know growing up that my mother's not here, so I can compliment her. My mother disciplined me sometimes. I don't think there was ever a time that I thought, yes, I deserve this at the time. Maybe most of the time I thought my brother deserved it worse, but we won't get into that. But in retrospect and looking back, you know what? I'm very glad she disciplined me. She gave me what I did not want because she loved me, but she gave me what I really needed. She lived out the golden rule. But it didn't look like the golden rule to me at the time, did it? No. One of the big times, I'll just share this, and this will be my last illustration. I had hid for 6 weeks that I was failing in school. I hid every paper, every bad paper I got, I hid in my desk. For 6 weeks, I hid that thing. The problem was, at the time, we didn't realize my vision was going. And as I've told you all before, without these glasses on, I can't tell anybody apart. As far as that goes, Dale and Bill look the same age. That makes you a lot younger, right, Bill? Yeah, today is pick on Dale Day. But for 6 weeks I lied. I hid the fact, the truth. You may or know you can't only do that for so long. A few days before our grades came out, the teacher made us clean out our desk and send every paper home. Now, I don't know about you, but how would you feel if your child brought home about 30 or 40 F's? It was bad. Then 2 days later, 3 days later, I get a ride home. And that's when those days when they actually had the little paper that you sent home with the grades on it. You pull out the little sleeve and you could see the bright red F right in the middle. Why didn't you tell us this? What are all these papers? And they talked. My mom said, okay. For the next 6 weeks, a week for every week you lied, you hid from us the truth, you're not going to watch TV. I don't know about you, but this was back before we had reruns or VCRs or stuff like that. And it was the holiday seasons. The Charlie Brown Christmas special was on. And as my family sat there and watched it, I sat behind the couch, not watching it, but listening to it. Later, my mom said it was the hardest thing she ever did in her life. And you know what? It taught me a lesson. Let me just say, at this point in my life, I don't take deception very well. Trying to deceive somebody, lie to somebody, I don't take that very well. Why? Because my mom lived out the golden rule. She gave me what I really needed. What she knows she really wanted too. Someone to lead her down the right path, even when it's hard. Kind of a different way of looking at the golden rule. But it isn't real. Isn't it the way we really want it? On the flip side, instead of the discipline side, don't we want people to give us what we really need and we really want and not just the white elephant gift so they can feel good about themselves? Yeah. Let's do that. As we live out the golden rule, of course, we want to rescue those who are lost because we don't want to perish either. So let's sing together, Rescue the Perishing. Now, Father, I ask that you be with everyone. Watch over them. Grant them your grace and your strength as they go from this place today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.